Shir HaShirim, Shir HaShirim, Perek, Vav, Posuk, what is that? Perek Vav, Posuk Vav. Okay. Shinayach Keida Horachelim, She'olu Min Horachtso, She'kula Mas'imois, V'Shakula Ein Bohem. Your teeth are like Keida Horachelim, like a flock of lambs, sheep, she'olu min harachtso, they came out from bathing. She'kula masimois, they're all masimois, I guess is tomim. She'kula ein bohem, and they have no blemishes. Okay, Rashi. She'nayach kitzinim v'giborim I can't see that word.
Shebeich.
What does that mean?
Like amongst you.
The officers and so forth that amongst you, a kulam l'teva, they're all good. Wow. This is Hashem talking to Klal Yisrael in the Golus. Spoil what he thinks of us. Yeah. Okay. Ke'ed ha-rachelim, ha-rochel ha-zos kula kedosho. The rochel is all holy. Samro l'tcheles, its wool of the lamb is used for tcheles. Besor l'korban, its flesh is used for a korban. Karneil l'shefris, the horns, I guess it's goats, not just lambs. The goat, the horns are used for shefris. The shekel l'chalilim, And I don't know how they make for the shok. They make
for the bones, I guess. They make chalilin.
They make instruments. Meyeho lekinoiros. From the intestines, they use for harps. Oiro lesoif, and they use its skin for a drum. And this is all part of the music that's played in the Beis Hamikdash. Avol horoshoim nimshul leklovim. But the Rishoyim. So now, what does Rishoyim mean over here?
Didn't really mention them.
No, he says, Shinayach kitzina v'giborim shebeich kulam l'toiva. Ke'edor ha'cholim, like all of this is good. So Rishoyim, nimshalu l'klovim. So he puts in, where does he get it from? He puts in here that refers to the nations.
Maybe you mean to the... Oh, I did.
Where does he see that? In other words, because it sounds like if he's saying, Kitsine v'giborim shaboch kulam l'toifa. So maybe the lower people are not.
Sounds like this would be like the actual Rishon.
One.
How are you just adding that?
Shinaich keidah horachelim.
The Pasuk's talking about
Tzaddikim. No, but what Rishoyim is he talking about? I would have said Rishoyim means Rishoyim amongst Klal Yisrael.
Right.
That's what I would say also.
That's what I would say, but well, so where does he come off to put in this?
It's an example.
You got to go over there for an example. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Okay, but Rishoyim and Nimshul Leklovim. Okay. So what is this? So, but let's understand this. What is it? He's comparing Klal Yisrael to the rochel, to the sheep or the goats. So how are they? Why do they compare? Because every part of you is for kedusha.
Used for good purposes.
So what's the comparison to Klal Yisrael? Just like for every part of the animal, we use for dovish and kedusha. Every fiber of your being, every part of you, is also. I guess that's what a tzaddik really is. A tzaddik just uses all of his koiches, whatever he has, right?
Kol
atzmai se teimarno. If he has eyes, he uses it to see, to learn. If he has ears, he uses it to hear or hearing. He has to hear good things. If he has a mouth, he uses it to speak and to inspire and to. And to teach and to learn the divrei Torah. If he has feet, he uses it to run to the Beis Medrash. If he has hands, he uses it to put on tefillin. All these things, he's constantly, the entire being. What?
Do
Yeah, to chesedness. So in other words, the Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Klal Yisrael and he sees, just like you look at this lamb and this goat, that every part of them is used in the Avodas HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael that way too. And so the good people are compared to the lamb, the bad ones to the dogs. Okay. I don't know. I don't know exactly if there's more to that, but anyway. Okay. Let's go. Hey. Oh, no, this was Vav. There's no Zion, so there's no Zion, so there's just Ches. Okay, Zion. Kefele chorima in rakoseich. Like the piece, I guess. So the pelach is like from an orange where you pick one of the things is called a pelach, and the rima doesn't have that, so I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe it's just a piece. Rakoseich are your cheeks. Nibadet samoseich, from under your covering, your kerchief. What does that mean? In other words,
which part of the orange is a pelach?
What?
Which part of the orange is a pelach?
I think they're called, the pelach is called each sliver that you take out. Each, you know, they're connected, like all the plochim are connected. So I think that's it. So maybe the pshat is like this. You're wearing this covering. You know, maybe the head covering went over the face a little bit too. But your beauty shines through.
Like a pomegranate.
What? Okay, I don't know. Why is it a piece of a pomegranate?
Previously mentioned that cheeks are supposed to look.
Oh, so the cheeks are supposed to be red cheeks.
Ready,
is a good
cheeks.
Red cheeks, yeah, is a robust sign, cheeks, right? In fact, what do people do?
Make it lush.
They put on makeup. They put on red. They put red. The cheeks should be more red.
I know people who survived the Holocaust through that. They used to pinch their cheeks to look more alive. To look very strong.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
really?
Remember.
Really? What did she say?
They used to pinch her cheeks to give like red in it, so it looked like you were
who,
like,
she would do it to her?
Yeah, she was like the youngest, so they used to like do it to her to like.
Why she would look strong? So what?
So they would keep her. So they weren't.
I mean, they figure we can get work out of her.
So
really?
Cheeks to make look red.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. The redness is a sign. It's a sign of robust health.
Yeah.
You know, so you look at somebody. Sometimes you see a pale person that's completely pale, looks sickly just from the face. You know, but this, so and that's why people have to put makeup on. They put red.
Most
of those makeups are red. Well, today I don't know what they do, but it used to be the makeup. The makeup is red. So they make the cheeks a little red, a little bit. You know, the lips. They make the lips a little red. Okay.
So by Shufrei the Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara said, if you want to see what beauty is, one of the you take like pomegranate and like silver. That's
really
put it in the light.
Okay.
So crazy.
So it's like that's a sign of beauty, and rakoseich. And Mimbadlet Samosik, so I guess that even though, I guess that's the shot, that even though you cover yourself, but your beauty shines out. It's true, there's such a thing, you know, people, they can be very sneers, they're very covered, but the beauty just shines through. So that's, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking at Klal Yisrael in such a positive, romantic way. Okay, Shishim Heima Melochis, 60 queens, Ushmoinim Pilagshim, and 80 Pilagshim, Valome Sein Mispor, and young women without a number, beyond what you can count. What's that all about, Rashi? Shishim Heim Malochis, Avrom the Yoyse Yerechoi, Avrom and his descendants, Bnei Ketura Shesh Esrei, Yishmoel Abon of Shloish Esrei, Yitzchuk Abon of Gimel, Bnei Yaakov Shnei Mosor, Ne'esov Tezayin, V'divrei Hayomim, Harei Shishim. These are all the descendants of Avraham Avinu. Each one is a melech. Everyone of Bnei Keturah is a melech. Bnei Yishmoel is a malochim. Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Esov.
Maybe they just were kings.
They what?
Maybe that was just the Mitzvah. Maybe that was the Messias, like they actually were kings.
You know, Aluf Tamon, Aluf.
I mean, they really were kings. Uh-huh. So good. So, what's he saying? Shishim heim malochis, ushmonim pilagshim. Okay, let's go. V'im tema, tsemehem, timno shi isho, shehi isho, avromin haminyin. Then, if you take out Timno, she was a woman, the others are men. So Avram count. Okay. Shmoyni pilakshim, noyach ubon of ad Avram, kol toidos yotze hateva shmoyni timtsoim, you'll find that there are 80. Ukashem shamaloche is shehem neshe hamelech. The queens are the wives of the king. Yesero is bigdula al hapilakshim. They were greater than the pilakshim. The Bnei Avram Avinu are more choshev than everybody else. Okay. Hogor bas melochim hoisa. Timna bas shiltoinim hoisa. Venasis pilegesh le'esov. In other words, they come from this malchus, but to them it was a bigger covered. She became a pilegesh, the Esov, who was a descendant of Avram Avinu, of Yitzchok. So, in other words, even though they come from greatness, but their greatness is nothing compared to even the lowliest descendant, or maybe even Rosha descendant of Avram Avinu. V'omer el emek shoveh, hushvu kulam be'etzo achas v'im lichos Avram aleim. They all got together, and they made Avram was recognized by all of them. So, in other words, that there were great people around. They were kings, but Avram Avinu was the king of the kings. He was, everyone recognized. In other words, I guess that was when Avram Avinu introduced HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. So the world had that recognition of Avram Avinu. He's the top of the line. Even though we're great kings, but he's in direct contact with the Melech Malchei Amlochim. It's a different level.
This is saying that everyone, all the descendants of Adam, were on a higher ruchnius level than Noah and his descendants.
I don't know. I guess they were.
Just in terms of the
well, like, Gashmius, I don't know. I mean, Avram Avinu was supposed to be a very wealthy man, but the kings must have also had a lot. So I assume that they were talking about ruchnius, that there was a certain recognition. Look, that's the problem. That's the problem in the world today. We wait for the time when the Klal Yisrael will be recognized. It says, the Gemara says, Ein Bein. That there'll be Shibud Malchus. The nations of the world will be Meshubat to Klal Yisrael. They'll realize that these are the people. This is the Am Hashem. These are Hashem's people. These are the people in contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even in those days, before, when there was an Avram Avinu in the world, then even though they were great people, but they were subservient to him. That maybe explains a Gemara that I never understood. I always claim to understand it, but I really, in my heart of hearts, I don't understand it.
Wait, one second.
They were divided into many mishpochos. Okay, I don't know what that has to do. What? I'm sorry.
How do we say we're saying that
Esau
was on a higher level than Noah and Shem and
Eber? Like, it doesn't say Noah and Shem. It says then.
The Yotzei had
blood. Yeah, maybe. That's right, because they were descendants of Avram Avinu.
That's right.
Listen, just because the Welt says that Yichus is like a pack of zeros, you know, they say Yichus is like a pack of zeros. If there's a one in front of it, if you're a mensch, then it's an infinite number. But if you're not, then it's nothing. But that may not be 100% true. You find people that are not religious even, but they come from a choshev of a mishpocha. There's certain genetic things, there's certain midas, there's certain things that you see there. What? Who?
Their grandfather's davening for them.
That could be whatever it is, but there's also a mitzias of, you see, there's a... for example, I don't want to say the name, it's just not nice, but there was a godel in tzidkis and in chesed and in... who was world-renowned, yeah? And... he had a brother who was not religious. His brother came to America, and his brother was not religious. But someone told me that when they met the brother, they saw in his midas the godless of his other brother. In other words, in sensitivity, in depth, in caring, in chesed, in this. It was there. He wasn't religious. Nebuchadnezzar came to America. He was a kid. He didn't go. There were no yeshivas. He went to public school. He went off.
Who is this?
But somebody, I don't know, not say the name.
But
whatever, yeah? But Lemaisa, but I'm just saying, but he saw in this brother, even though he was not religious at all, but he saw that. I remember the way he described him. He's like a prince of a human being. Like, just like one would describe his brother. It was like, because It's there. But I want to. But now I think maybe I understand something else. If Avraham Avinu was recognized by all the Melochim at the time that he was like above them, as Rashi says, now I think I understand a Gemara. The Gemara says, in the end, back in Bava Kamma, at the end there, maybe it's Meruba, maybe I'm not sure where. The Gemara says that Avimelech was Chayev Misa. When he took Sora, he was Chayev Misa. And the Gemara says, because in Plishtim, they asked first, Al Iske Ishtoi, and then Al Iske Achilo Shtia. They said, first they asked him, is this your wife? And then they asked him, do you have what to eat? Do you have a place to sleep? And their cheres would have been, first you ask him if he has a place to stay, if he needs food, and then you ask him, is this your wife or not? So because of that, Avraham Avinu realized that there's something wrong over there, and he told him that Sora was not his wife, and his sister, and the whole thing almost came. Avimelech almost took him, but nothing happened, but it was punished. So it says, Avimelech was chayiv misa. Why? He didn't know derech eretz. Why? Shehoyelo lilmud me Avraham Avinu. There was an Avraham Avinu in the world, and Avimelech could have learned from Avraham Avinu derech eretz. At first you ask about, you have a place to sleep, you have food to eat, and then you ask if it's his wife or not. So since he didn't learn from Avraham Avinu, he was chayiv misa. Now think about that. Avraham Avinu didn't live in Plishtim. He didn't live in Plishtim. I don't know how far it was, but they didn't have radio, television, Morse code even to send messages like that, internet, telephones. There was no... What? Newspaper, maybe they had newspapers, I don't know, maybe write handwritten newspapers, I don't know. What? Yes, Sky, that's right. Billboard. So what do you want? So Avraham Avinu lived someplace else. Yeah, Avraham Avinu lived someplace else, but there's a taina on Avimelech that he says, so Terence says, I never understood that, but I think it makes a little more sense. If Avraham Avinu had the reputation and that everybody knew, all the Melochim knew that Avraham Avinu was the king of the kings, so then, hey, why don't you go? And why? Not because of Gashmias, like we said, but because of Ruchnias. So you knew about it. In other words, the world knew, they recognized. So once they recognize, it makes a little more sense why they should have been able to learn from Avraham Avinu. I never really understood, like, what can you have Teves Chayev Misa? Because he didn't learn that lesson from Avraham Avinu, the lesson of Derech Eretz. So that may explain why it's true. Okay, can we do one more posuk? Let's see, because I must leave. I have a telephone 10 o'clock appointment. Achasi, okay. Achasi yonosi samosi. You're unique. Yeah. My yona, my dove, my perfect one. Samosi is tam, perfect. Achasi leimo, special to your mother. Borehi leoladito. Borehi to the one who gave birth to her. Boro, I don't know. Boro is a lotion of clear, maybe. Pure, okay. Ruah benoisi ashruha, the daughters saw and they praised her. Melochois upilagshim vihaleluha, and queens and pilagshim, they praised her. So what is this talking about? I got to do this fast. Achasi yonosi umikulam achasi hanivcheres li leyonotamo. From all of them, Hashem says she's the one that's chosen to me, like this yonah that's perfect. She temimus lev in benzuga, because she's wholehearted with her benzug, with her partner. So it's very interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know why I chose Klal Yisrael over all these other people? Because of the temimus halev. Achasi in benzuga. This is a Klal Yisrael who rebelled against Hashem. This is the Klal Yisrael who's in the Golus. This is the Klal Yisrael who had to chase out of Eretz Yisrael. But what does he say? She tmimus lev in benzuga. The loyalty, the tmimus in the lev, still exists with the Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though we're way in the Golos and we don't necessarily act appropriately. And since we didn't act appropriately, the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt. But Lamaisa, the tmimus halev, HaKodesh Baruch Hu still sees there. Achasi le'imo. Liknesioso, that's to the Beis HaKnesses, I guess. Harbe machlokes boy be'od Beis HaMedrash ve'bote medroshes kulam livan lohovin teira. There's many machlokes, but they all, in their hearts, they want to understand the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Klal Yisrael, that they're arguing, but they all want to understand the Torah. That's very interesting, because we see arguments in the Beis Medrash, and we would say, the guy wants to be right, the guy has an ego problem, the guy's putting down his chavrusa, the guy always had, you know, my idea, my this, my svara, you know. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees in that deep down, they really want to know the truth. Yeah? L'chovim ter al mechoinu v'al amitoso, on its basics and on its truth. Borehi l'ladito, Yaakov ro iso, Mito shleima beloy psul v'hoyde v'kiles lamokum shenema v'yishtachu Yisrael al reish. Yaakov Avinu saw that his descendants would be without psul. Now I don't understand that. I guess after all the psulim that we have, Yaakov Avinu saw with the Klal Yisrael, still Klal Yisrael, it's true. Yisrael shechota afapish Yisrael afapish shechota Yisrael who. We're still bonim l'Hashem elokeichem. Inside, deep down, every Jew still has that. That Yaakov Avinu was able to see b'nevua. They're kulam. They're all mitosi shleimo. They're all aight. They're not doing. They don't keep Shabbos. They don't do this. They don't do that. Inside, that gadlus, that shleimus is still there. Ru'u Abanoi says Yisrael b'gdulosa. They saw Klal Yisrael in her gdula. Yashrua omohit kiluson. And then they're going to go next time. We'll have what the praise.